Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier.
Are you one of those guys who seems to get paralyzed in the process of starting something new? Do you think you need a bunch of training or education before you can take action? And what is the one single practice that will change how you experience everything in your life? This week, we've got Derek Sivers on the show to talk about the Tao of business and how any situation in your life can become a positive one. Welcome to The New Man. Today, I've got Derek Sivers. He's an entrepreneur. He's been called a hippie capitalist. He's the founder of CD Baby, which helped revolutionize the music industry for independent artists. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hello, Trip.
I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. I was a user of CD Baby for years and watched it explode. And I just kind of want to like get the guy at home involved because he may not be a musician. What I get about you, Derek, is that you created this massive business. I know that you just sold it for millions of dollars, but you created this massive business just by like starting out by helping people and doing favors. Is that right?
Yeah. I think it's kind of the Tao of business that those people who get into something just to make money, or they're constantly trying really hard to make money and saying, how can I make some money doing this? Often it ends up not working out so well because it's just like their heart's in the wrong place. You know, it's not the right question to be asking. And I can say this in hindsight because there were many things I tried to do in the 90s that were more about making money that went okay, you know, but nothing that really snowballed and went extremely well. Then at the end of 97, I just put together a little website just to sell my own CD because, you know, times were different then. There was no PayPal, Amazon only sold books, and there was literally nowhere to sell your music if you were an independent musician without a record deal. So I just built this little thing just for myself. And afterwards, a few of my musician friends said, hey, man, could I use that thing? Yeah, I guess so. Sure. I mean, it just really is a hobby. I started helping out a few of my friends, like letting a few friends sell their CD through this thing I built for myself. And then pretty soon friends of friends started calling saying, hey, man, my friend Dave said you could sell my CD. And I'd say, yeah, no problem. So I was really just literally doing this as a favor. It wasn't meant to be a business. But I think that was important, that because the DNA of the company was just about helping musicians. It was just something I was doing for free at first. And only after a few months, I said, oh, I better start charging something. So started charging a few dollars. But up until then, it was really just a favor I was doing for friends. And the spirit of that just stayed throughout. And I think that's why it did so well.
I'm just curious, because I know that you were a musician. Did you go get an MBA? There's a lot of people that are like, oh, if I'm going to build a business, I need to go do a bunch of stuff first. I need to climb a certain mountain of training and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, was that true for you at all?
God, no. Okay. Let's use an example from the new man description I saw on your site, where the very first thing says, who listens to the new man? Guys who want to attract the right woman without playing pickup artist games or seduction tricks. So you probably know that sometimes learning too much can be harmful. If you've read, you know, The Game and the this and that and The Art of Seduction and all of these books, by the time you get into a conversation with somebody, you might just be paralyzed trying to remember everything you've learned. And it can work against you. Whereas if somebody is just like cool and natural and a charming person, it can work in their favor. So I think I have an opinion about MBAs. Sometimes I think that you can be so lost in years of MBA crap that you forget what it's really all about. You've learned so many details. You know, what is that phrase? The forest for the trees or whatever.
Right.
That, you forget what it's really about. So I never learned anything about traditional business school stuff. I mean, yes, I've read some books about business, as you can see on my website. A lot of it's business learning, but it's different from that MBA stuff. So I don't really know about, you know, a financial statement or a profit and loss or a balance sheet or whatever. But I think I do understand the general concept of doing something that helps people without it being clouded by too much MBA type learning.
Since you weren't focusing on like the business speak and all of that kind of stuff, what were you focusing on?
Helping musicians. And that's
just
it.
Just staying in that place of, I'm going to help musicians. What do musicians need? And I'm going to provide whatever they need.
Exactly. End of thought. You know, it's, and every decision in the company came down to that. Does this help musicians? You know, something like, let's just pick a tiny little day-to-day example. Say you've got a phone system, and one thing you can do is have all incoming calls routed to something that says, thank you for your call. Your call is important to us. Please continue to hold. When it really comes down to it, is that benefiting them, or is that just benefiting you? Hmm. And if it's benefiting you but not them, don't do it. Well, every decision in your company should be made by whether it's benefiting. Is it really the best possible thing for your customers, for your clients? Or is it some kind of like half-assed compromise you're trying to make? So, you know, instead, the answer with for the phone system is no, that the best thing that could possibly happen for a client is that when they dial our number, within the first or second ring, a person picks up and says hello.
What a novel idea.
Yeah. And it's just a stupid little things like that add up. So, you know, when you email us, a real person emails you back within a few hours, calling you by name, understanding your situation, not making you reference your client ID number, anything. Just believe it or not, all those little things added up on top of each other really can make a massive difference between your company and what everybody else is doing. So I think you can get quite far in business just by being considerate and using that simple rule to guide every business decision.
Did other business owners and other people that you came across on your path think you were crazy by just following this notion? Because so many businesses are all focused on the bottom line. They're all focused on getting money and doing whatever it takes to get money. Are you crazy in their eyes?
I hope so. The reason I took a couple minutes to describe how CD Baby started is that that was the DNA of the company, is that I was making a full-time living as a musician. I was touring and I was producing people's records, and that was my full-time living. I bought a house in Woodstock with the money I made touring. I was not looking to stop being a musician. Mm. So CD Baby was just a favor. I wasn't trying to make any money doing it. I didn't even want to make money doing it, because that would have gotten in the way of my music career. So I call it the Tao of business, where if your intention is just to help people and you keep focused on that intention, then you'll usually do better in business than somebody who's focused on the money.
Well, I get about you that you've done a lot of personal development, at least through the books that I see listed on your site. How much of that personal development influenced how you did business and vice versa?
There's business mindset and there's personal mindset. And I'll just off the top of my head, I'll try to think of it a difference. So business mindset will be something like, who comes before and after your company? CD Baby, for example, is an online seller of CDs. That was mm-hmm. the original business model.
Right.
So I had to think, well, what businesses come before that? Okay, well, CD manufacturing, recording studios, etc. What businesses, meaning like what businesses would my clients be using before they came to CD Baby, before they made an album? And what companies would they be using after they release a CD and sell it through me? Promoters, attorneys, other like promotion type companies.
Right.
So what I did is I worked out partnerships with the companies that come before and after. So that's an example of something like a mindset that I learned from a business book.
And in that place, you're putting yourself in the position of your customer and being like, what does this guy need? Like, what's going to help make his, make it help him be a better artist?
Yeah. Or how can I help more? How can I help make their lives easier?
Okay.
But then on the personal mindset, something that I wouldn't say this is necessarily business, would be something like, for example, I learned the really important lesson repeatedly. It took me years to get this, that nothing in life is good or bad. It's all just what you make it. Everything, every event is just neutral, and it can all be interpreted in different ways. Even if you take something that you think is as universally negative as death, in some cultures, when somebody dies, they celebrate, you know, because they believe so strongly in an afterlife that when somebody dies, it's a huge celebration. So, you know, in my personal life, it's just like, no matter what happens to me, I can ask myself the question, okay, what's great about this?
Yeah.
And it took years of doing that intentionally before it just became absolutely automatic second nature. You know, I think about the comparison of like when, if you see a 3-year-old trying to catch a ball, at first they really have to like squint and focus, and you throw a little Nerf ball their way and they have to focus and their hands clap at the wrong time, you know, trying to coordinate their hands to meet a ball coming their direction.
Right.
Really takes work when you're 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And now we don't even think about it. You know, I could just like be standing in the room with you and say, yo, trip, and throw something your way, and you grab it with your hand without even looking. So I think about that with the stuff that you can learn from like personal development type books. Sometimes it's awkward at first. Sometimes you really have to do it very intentionally for even a couple of years. But then you notice as the years pass, like, oh, look, I've really internalized that. So
I'd love to hear more about how that practice has impacted you. Like, you know, why would a guy go through the time it takes to kind of cultivate that ability to see the gift in whatever comes along? How has that impacted you?
I mean, that's changed my entire outlook on the world, is that just nothing gets me down. I'm the most, you know, confident mofo I know. sometimes all I have is confidence. You know, there have been times in my life where just everything was going wrong. Just like everything all at once was crashing down upon me, and anybody else in that position would have been like devastated. And I was just laughing like, all right, well, if I can handle this, I can handle anything. And just trying to say like, okay, what's good about this? And I'm like, okay, well, next time I get married, remember to do a prenup. Next time I'm thinking about doing an employee compensation plan, make sure it's based on things they actually do. And next time a contractor says he's going to take a month to renovate my apartment, get it in writing. And next time, you know, I sign a piece of paper, remember to read it first. And, you know, there were all these lessons that I had to learn the hard way. But with all these, I was just like, okay, what's good about this? You know, so I mean, it's just, it's changed my entire life. So, I mean, and that's just one tiny example, you know, I mean, there's lots of stuff that I've learned from books. I mean, even more recently in the last couple of years, there are books like Stumbling on Happiness or The Paradox of Choice. Both of those books, I just read them in the last couple of years, and just gave me these profound insights on what it means to make decisions.
It seems like we have a choice. So, you know, the shit hits the fan and we have a choice in that moment. I can react, I can kind of collapse and go into like Shitsville, get rolled over by this, or I can choose to see the silver lining and find the gift in this. And knowing that there's going to be a gift in this has me less scared to try things out, less scared to fail, you know, like whatever that might mean. And that's going to affect my relationships. That's going to affect whether I want to choose to kind of create a business or whatever, because so many people get stuck in the notion that something bad will happen or I will fail. And reorienting yourself to that possibility is huge. And you're saying that's something we can actually learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about, again, we'll make this comparison with girls, romance, dating, whatever you want to call it, that sometimes people have built up the idea of dating or love or romance so much in their head that they just get paralyzed and are too scared to go talk to any girl they're attracted to. But then if you take a kind of approach of like, what have I got to lose? Or it's no big deal, or hey, whatever, it's just one other person. All of a sudden you get this confidence to just talk to anybody, because who cares, you know? So what if that cute girl in the grocery store says like, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk to you. You're like, all right, whatever.
It's not the end of the world. Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
It's the same thing with business. You know, I think sometimes people build up business so much in their head. I mean, maybe again, this is the, perhaps the downside of an MBA. You spent years studying this. You spent so much money on tuition. You want to make sure you get it right. Damn it. This is do or die.
Oh yeah.
And truth is that that attitude can hurt you. So if you approach business more lighthearted and playfully and just like with the attitude of, well, let's see what happens if dot, 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 you know,
yeah.
Let's see what happens if I email all my, my fans on my band's mailing list and tell them not to come to the gig next Thursday because it's going to blow their mind. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens if I take this stupid little idea that my friends think would go well. And if I give myself 10 days to start my new business.
Yeah.
It's just all those kind of things. Like just get more lighthearted about it. Just say, get into that attitude of let's see what happens if, or there's nothing to lose. And my favorite one, of course, is whatever scares you, go do it.
Yeah, absolutely. We hear it all the time on the show from various guests, like, and it basically boils down to like, stay curious, like what would happen, and stay playful. Like it matters, and you're playing big, but it's still play. It's still this exploration about what's possible, because man, we could die anytime. So why not enjoy it? Why not really go for it and explore and turn every leaf over?
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. So what's one thing, let's say a guy's at home and he's kind of paralyzed. Maybe he's in this place of like, I couldn't possibly try that, or I can't, you know, he's in that place where he's not playful. He's not curious. Maybe he wants to start a business, or he's thinking about going back to school, making some change in his life. What's one thing that he could do today to kind of get some traction?
I have a lot to say about this. So instead of giving a short answer to the something to do today, I have to give a longer answer to that. Okay. So, I have a lot of people who tell me their business idea, and they say, for example, let's pretend that somebody wants to do a music recommendation service.
Okay.
This is a real example that happened to me just a couple months ago. I'm at this music conference and this guy comes up to me and he's just like, oh man, I've had this idea for a couple of years. I'm looking for investors, man, because I need $20 million. Well, I don't know what he said. I need $20 million to get this business up and going. Here's what it is, man. It's a music recommendation service where people will something, they'll create profiles and they'll upload all of their favorite music. Then it'll analyze that music. Then they'll link to their friends who will analyze that. But now it'll also, they'll start to enter all of the concerts they've gone to, and it'll show them other people who've gone to those came to concerts, and people upload files, and then the musicians can create profiles, and then it links to the musicians that we think they'll like, and da-da-da-da-da, which will analyze based on the lyrics, and not just that, but when they listen to the music. And this guy had this long, 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 long idea about this ultimate music recommendation service, and that's why he felt it was going to take $2 million and 2 years to make this thing.
Wow, okay.
And I tried not to laugh, but I said, all right, man, so recommending music is your passion, right? And he's like, oh yeah, man. You know, I think that's what's key, man. It's all about music recommendation. That's like, that's how people discover music, is that's how we all get turned on to music, is by people recommending music. So yeah, man, I'm passionate about music recommendation. I said, okay, so why don't you start recommending music this week? And he said, huh? I said, well, how about this, man? How about you just give a few friends your phone number and say, call me if you want me to recommend some music to you. And when your friend calls, you can say, okay, what music do you like? And they'll say, well, I like Bjork and I like Tori Amos. And then you can tell them, well, then I think you'll like these three. And check them out. And I'm going to email you the links. And your friend goes, okay, thanks. And then you write down on a spreadsheet what you recommended and why. And then the next person calls and you do this again. You can do this with like a pen and a piece of paper. You don't need a website.
Uh-huh.
Just tell people your phone number. I said, okay, so that's what I call version 0.1
okay.
of your business. So I think most people, they have a business idea that they want to do, and they have this vision in their head, like the big long one I described. But to me, that's what I call, you know, like in software version terms, you know, like yeah. you think of version 1, version 2. what you've just described to me is a version infinity. You've just described everything the software will ever do in its history. You've described like what it's going to be doing years from now. But before it can do that, you need to do version 0.1, which is to just get to the essential little core and just start.
Yeah.
Because so many times when you launch it, you find out that the world isn't into it. And it's better to find that out fast and cheap instead of spending 2 years of your life and $2 million and launching something and then finding out the world isn't interested.
Yeah.
So I always say, like, if you've got an idea for a business, give yourself a 10-day deadline to start it. Just say, okay, you have an idea on a Monday and you think, ooh, that'd be cool. And maybe you run it by a few friends and they say, oh man, that would be awesome. And you say, okay, and give yourself 10 days to get it started. Just even if it's just a piece of paper and giving friends your phone number or an email, and then you can just build on that. Like, you can say, okay, version 0.1 was my cell phone and a piece of paper. Version 0.2 is I'm going to enter all of these things into a spreadsheet. You know what I mean? And then now you've got momentum.
Mm-hmm. And you're making some mistakes along the way, and you're learning really valuable lessons from it. Shit, you couldn't possibly anticipate that you could ever know from the get go.
Exactly. So there are two ways to bring an idea to reality. Either you can hide out and spend a year in development in secret with dozens of programmers or whatever, and spend a ton of money, and then voila, release your brilliant invention to the world. And we'll call that the Segway. You know that the standing right. up moving device called the Segway?
Right.
The Segway took years and years to develop, and it was done completely in secret because the inventor felt that it was going to change the whole world. And when it was announced, the world kind of laughed. They're like, that's stupid. We don't want that. That's lame. Look like a dork. And, you know, if he would have like launched a version 0.1 instead of hiding out in secret all that time, he probably would have gotten some nice early feedback from real people going, hey man, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this idea of just like launch version 0.1 and just get it out there and get started. Because you know what? Imagine that there are two different people that want to do a music recommendation service starting in August 2009, and one of them goes into hiding for a whole year to develop this thing in secret, and the other one starts in 10 days. And after a year, I will bet everything I've got that the guy who's been out there doing weekly improvements and dealing with real people for the past year will be so far ahead of the person who's been sitting in hiding and developing it for a year.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's just no comparison. You know, the person who's been dealing with clients and making constant improvements based on customer feedback and just got their idea out there quick, cheap, and easy will be so much further along than somebody who sits in hiding. So that is my long answer to your question of something that your listeners can do today is to take whatever business idea you're psyched about and give yourself a 10-day deadline to just make a version 0.1, even if it's just a piece of paper in your phone number, or even if it's like an email to 10 friends. The other thing that goes with it, of course, is understanding you don't need to have a million customers at the beginning. Mm. You can have one customer. So take this little idea, your music recommendation service or whatever your thing may be, and make one person happy. You know, have one customer and make sure that they're impressed. And once your first customer is impressed, then contact your second customer and make them happy. And until your first two customers are happy, don't even try to get your third customer. First, impress those first two. You found something that you love doing and you're doing it because you love it, not just for the money. And if you're able to do it, at least without losing money, like even if you're only making whatever, $100 a month doing it, then you can just keep doing it without worrying that, that it's not a massive success. Just keep making people happy and just it builds upon itself and eventually it starts snowballing where then it just gets undeniable.
Excellent. I just love drilling it down to making people happy, helping them out. And if they find it valuable, they'll pay. They'll help you make it sustainable and help you keep it moving along.
And they'll tell their friends about it because they like it, not because they're trying to do you a favor. You want to do something that's making even a few people so happy that they're telling their friends, like, oh my God, this guy Tripp has started this thing. You got to hear this podcast. Oh my God, this is amazing. You have to hear this. Doing it because, you know, not as a favor to you, but because they really think their friends will love it. And if that's not happening yet, you should really be focusing more of your time on improving and developing, not marketing. Because if people aren't freaking out over what you're doing yet, any marketing efforts will be wasted. You need to focus first on getting your initial fans, customers to freak out.
Let's go over the big points from this show. Number one, the Tao of Business says to focus on helping people instead of making money. Understand the person you're passionate about helping and create services or offerings that truly benefit them and your business. If it only benefits you, skip it. If you're only in it to make money, good luck. But if you can center your efforts around truly benefiting others, you'll be rewarded much more. Contrary to the stereotypical capitalist dog-eat-dog mentality, you can go far in this world by being considerate. Number two, whether it's a business or some other project in your life, you don't need to be an expert to get started. So many people spend years in this education stage instead of getting in the trenches, learning what truly works. Be willing to challenge voices that say you need this or that before you can get the ball rolling. The lessons you learn in the process of actually doing it will be invaluable. Number three, learning too much can be harmful. It's strange to say that, but think about it. If you've crammed your head full of information and you're not actually learning how to embody it, you can be paralyzed with confusion or information overload. Keep it simple and learn what is needed along the way. Number four, if the shit hits the fan, see if you can practice asking yourself, what's great about this? Certain situations suck, but our ability to see the lesson provided is what makes them a positive experience. Ultimately, we have a choice to turn the experience into a good one or a bad one. Number five, it's easy to insert your head up your ass and make something into a big deal. One way to jar it loose is to get creative and playful. Ask yourself, let's see what happens if I do this, or to take the position that there's nothing to lose. Again, if you're viewing any situation that arises as a growth opportunity, you'll see a world full of opportunities. Loosen up a bit, be willing to screw up, and remember, whatever scares you, go do it. Number six, if you're one of those guys who thinks you need financing or more education to get your project off the ground, switch it up. Commit to getting the first, most basic version of your idea out the door in 10 days. Focus on doing the most essential element of your product or service and then expand it. Instead of hiding out in your creative cave for years, bring your idea into the light now and use constant feedback from the outside to grow it. Let go of any idea that your baby needs to be fully mature before it hits the streets.
Man, I love it. I appreciate you taking the time to share these insights. They're so simple, and that's what makes them like so right on. There's not something, well, I'm going to lay out a 15-point plan for you.
It's like, I know, exactly.
Well, I know that you're taking a break. You sold CD Baby, and you're kind of in this new place. But, you know, where can we just kind of follow you, follow your progress, and just kind of keep up with you?
My personal website. My name's Derek Sivers. The last name is spelled S-I-V-E-R-S. And my website is sivers.org, S-I-V-E-R-S.org.
Derek, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show. And I just want to thank you for building CD Baby. It helped my band. It helped take some of the crap work that we didn't want to do. And you really provided a lot of value for me. So I'm psyched for you, psyched for your success. And I'm looking forward to the whatever may show up for you in the future.
Thanks, Tripp.
Thanks for listening, and please take a moment to become a fan of The New Man on Facebook. This is where I interact with listeners like you.